Hello. Hello, 1, 2.
Thank you, you're so rich when we call your name.
Amen.
Lord, we want to continue in this richness, Lord.
Amen.
We want to go to new depths this morning.
Amen.
We want
right.
To speaking to plumb the depths of heaven.
Amen. Right, Lord. We want to enter more into you this morning.
Amen.
I really enjoy this title that you saints have been in this weekend. The wonderful Jesus, right?
Amen.
He's wonderful.
Amen.
Can you think of a verse that says that?
His name is wonderful.
Wonderful. Isaiah 9:6, amen. He's a wonderful counselor, right? Oh, Lord. And there's also an experience in Judges. I can't remember now exactly why the Lord appeared to this couple. But anyway, he appeared in an offering fire. And as he was ascending, they said, wonderful, wonderful. Well, the Lord is just wonderful. And he's an ascending person, right? Going from us to God. And then he comes from God to us. Praise the Lord. You know, the anointing oil, this is God coming to us. But then the frankincense, this is us going to God, right? In Christ, with Christ. So it's a wonderful, the first point here, frankincense, the fragrance of resurrection ascending to God. So frankincense typifies resurrection. You know, the three wise men came with their gifts, right? They had gold, they had frankincense, and they had myrrh. Those three things were the entire life of Christ, right? He had his gold nature, which was God. He was going to die on the cross, which signifies myrrh. And then he was resurrected, which is the frankincense. So praise the Lord, this was his whole life laid out for him at the very beginning. It was God arranged to have the types there as he was a little baby, right? So this frankincense has a sweet smell, right? It's very almost invigorating. And in the incense, when it's made, there's two other portions that go with frankincense to make up this incense that arises to God. And one of them is very sweet, and the other one, galbanum, is very strong, has a strong scent, a strong odor. And so what it does, Brother Lee said, it's almost offensive. It's so strong. But it strengthens this matter of the frankincense. And it also causes it to linger, to stay, right? So that it doesn't just disappear, but it's there. So this matter of the fragrance of the resurrection of the Lord, first of all, point A is it's an offering of a meal offering to Jehovah. You put frankincense on it, a satisfying fragrance to Jehovah. So the meal offering, this is what you've been looking at the whole time we've been here, isn't it? The meal offering, which is just made up of flour and oil, and then frankincense with salt. So this offering, this meal offering, was actually apart from the frankincense, because that was totally for God, but everything else the priest could eat. So it was a meal. It was a meal offering. It was for his constitution, really, to make him into God. Praise the Lord. So, but the frankincense itself was something that rose as it was being burned. This frankincense, the odor, would rise up before the Lord, and it was pleasing to God. You know, God is he likes pleasure. He himself wants to have pleasure. He wants to have enjoyment. So when when that aroma of frankincense rose before the Lord, it says it was very pleasing to God, right? So this frankincense is, first of all, it is a fragrance. But it also signifies the Lord's humanity. With the frankincense means that the Lord himself lived a life of resurrection. All his whole life was in resurrection. Everywhere he went, he was in resurrection. Resurrection was his living. And he never departed from resurrection. It was the same with his death. He was always under the death, right? Because he denied himself and lived by the Father's life. So his whole life was death and resurrection. He was walking according in the Spirit in this way. And so this is a pattern, right, for every believer. We also have to get into our spirit and experience this resurrection, this frankincense. Okay, so then it's also linked to prayer. Not only is it a fragrance to the Lord that's very pleasing, so when we're in our spirit, now we're pleasing to the Lord, right? He's not happy with anything other than the Spirit. So we have to be in our spirit. We have to learn how to be in our spirit so that the Lord is happy with us. But also, incense signifies prayer. So the pure frankincense was one of the ingredients of this incense. And it, when it was put in, there was an incense altar, right? It was a golden incense altar. And it was in the holy place. Although Brother Lee says it's difficult actually to locate exactly because it could have been, it was very near within the Holy of Holies. So Brother Lee says it's hard to know whether it's in the Holy of Holies or just outside the Holy of Holies in the holy place. But anyway, so it was close to the Lord, the expression of Christ there in the Holy of Holies. And so this is the prayer of Christ. When we pray, we want not to express our own feeling, thought, or need, but prayer is to express God's desire, right? Prayer really is to lift up what is coming out of Christ, right? And then we pray that out of our being. So to touch the Lord, we have to spend some time perhaps to confess as we come to Him. We need to get our being clear and our spirit exercised, and then we're ready to pray, to begin to contact the Lord. Lord, what is on your heart? Right? Because we've cleared ourselves up and our ears are open into what the Lord's speaking and what His need may be. So this is incense. This is the frankincense rising to the Lord, and it has the element of Christ, not just not ourselves at all. So this point C indicates that until the day dawns and the shadows flee away, I, for my part, will go to the mountain of myrrh and to the hill of frankincense. This is, myrrh, of course, is the Lord's death, right? Frankincense is the Lord's resurrection. So this seeking one in Song of Songs, she determines that she's going to go to the mountain, right? The mountain of myrrh, where the Lord's death is, and she's just going to end the resurrection. And she's going to dwell there. This is where she wants to dwell, where she wants to stay, just to participate in this aspect of Christ's life. It's so sweet, right? It's so sweet to apply death to us because that releases us, really, into the life of Christ, right? So we have to touch the Lord's death in the Spirit, allow the cross that's in the Spirit to work in us, separating us from ourselves so that we're in the Spirit. We have the expression of Christ coming out of us. So point one, the seeker seeks to remain on the mountain of myrrh. That's where she wants to, she's longing to stay on this place of death and on the place of resurrection. And really, this was what the Lord did, right? I mentioned that earlier. He always was in resurrection. Wherever He went, whatever He did was in resurrection. So this is also what we need. We need to come to this place, right? The mountain of myrrh and the place of resurrection. So the last point, D, as believers, we need to experience Christ's resurrection. And it's an interesting, let me get to my Bible here. I'm going to read 2 Corinthians chapter 12. Nine and 10. This is an expression of resurrection, right? Paul, he suffered, I don't know, Paul was just a pure example of suffering for the Lord, but also rejoicing in the Lord, right? Living in Christ. So anyway, let's have the sisters read verse 9, brothers read verse 12. If you're there, 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 9 and 10. Amen. And the brothers.
Therefore, I am well pleased in weaknesses, in insults, in necessities, in persecutions, and distresses, on behalf of Christ. For when I am weak, then I am powerful.
Praise the Lord. This is the effect of resurrection, right? Walking in resurrection. It doesn't matter what we're going through. It doesn't matter if we're suffering, whether we're rejoicing or not, when we're in the resurrection, then we're powerful. Praise the Lord. Okay, brother.
Amen. Praise the Lord.
Oh, here.
Praise the Lord. Thank you, Brother Andy, for sharing on the frank incense. I believe, I looked up the Bible when it was in the Judges 13:18. It says, "Why do you ask about my name, since it is wonderful?" I believe our brother is quoted there. And praise the Lord. I believe we had a wonderful conference from the past few messages. And all the sharings of the preciousness of our Lord serve one purpose, which is to infuse this vision of what a wonderful Christ we have into us. And this infusing of the vision should cause our appreciation for Him. And this appreciation would lead to our desire and kind of motivate us to interact with Him, to even experience and enjoy Him. And before we get into the outline, how about we all declare the general subject of this conference? Amen. The wonderful Jesus Christ. Praise the Lord. From the Gospels, we can see that there are four aspects of our Lord Jesus Christ. As a king, He came to establish the kingdom. And as a slave, He is a pattern showing us how to serve God and how to serve man. And as a God, He is our life and the life supply. But more and more, I gradually kind of the more appreciate that He is a man. He is the infinite God, and He became a finite man. He's willing to kind of get rid of His glory and put His glory aside and enter into the form of a lowly man just to live a lowly human living. And you can see that the more you ponder on the humanity of Christ, the more you appreciate Him, because of course we know from the Bible there are quite a few records showing God wants us to worship Him. However, if you read the Bible more and more, you will find out our God, He likes to interact with us on the level of humanity. In the Genesis, He appeared to Abraham, and He spoke to Abraham. And in Exodus, we can see that it shows that Moses spoke to Jehovah face to face, just as like the people speak to their companions. And even when the Israelites left God, and in Hosea 11, it shows that He wants to draw the apostate people back to Himself through the course of a man, which means He wants to draw us back on the level of the humanity. And in the New Testament, you can see that John chapter 1 says that he, as the only begotten Son, he has declared the Father. But and you may only pay attention to that those miracles that he performed, like just like I did. I cherish that he turned water into wine. He fed thousands with only 5 loaves and 2 fish. And he healed the blind. He even resurrected Lazarus, who has died. But if you pay attention to other incidents in the Gospels, you see he sat specifically at noon with that immoral Samaritan woman, and he just shepherded her into the repentance to the Lord. And when Martha and Mary, they were grieving about Lazarus, their brother, our Lord did not kind of scold them for their disbelief. Our God wept with them. And when Peter backsliding in back to the fishing, and after the denial of the Lord, our Lord just appeared to him and gently cherished him in his humanity. So our God really wants us to interact with him on the level of humanity. So we have a perfect picture of God Christ's humanity in the Old Testament, which is the burden of this week, the meal offering. When we see the meal offering with all its ingredients and how it were made, we see that it's a perfect picture conveying the spiritual significance of our Christ's humanity. The main ingredient is flour, so it denotes our Christ's human living. It was what? Fine, was gentle, was balanced, and was perfect. And it was added with the oil, signifies that in him, in his human living, there was the mingling of the divinity with the humanity. And it was added also with the salt, which means that his living is always filled with the killing from the cross. He always expressed, not expressing himself, but do the will of God. And later, this morning, we come to the frankincense. Just like our brothers shared, that frankincense signifies Christ's resurrection, because frankincense is the fragrance. It denotes the fragrant Christ in his resurrection. And it is so wonderful. And I would like to, we can all just repeat the point D under Roman numeral 1. Let's all declare that. Praise the Lord. So this morning, our burden is to show us that we need to apply Christ's resurrection to our daily living. The resurrection, firstly, if we see the Luke 24, we know resurrection means Christ entering into his glory. He's glorified. And if you also look at the John chapter 7, you will see that the Spirit has everything to do with Christ being glorified. So if we want to experience resurrection, our experience must be closely related to the Spirit, which now is in our human spirit. So brothers and sisters, it is very critical to exercise our spirit. Apart from the Spirit, apart from our human spirit, we can never touch the resurrection of Christ. We need to exercise our spirit to touch the resurrection of Christ and apply this fragrant Christ in his resurrection to our human living. And about 2 months ago, one morning when I was having morning revival with the Lord, and I was kind of enjoying him as a meal offering. I was saying, Lord, thank you that your life is just like the fine flour, balanced. Nothing kind of the coarse, it's just fine, balanced, and perfect. And as I went to say, oh Lord, you are the oil, you also mingle with the Holy Spirit, the divinity. I want to turn to God to receive all the Spirit from the Lord. I want to be mingled with the Lord. And as I enjoy, he is also, there's also salt, the killing essence in the meal offering. I was just, Lord, I need to be terminated. I need to, every part of myself need to be killed and deserve nothing but the cross. I need your cross to be applied on that, on myself. And then I went to the frankincense. Of course, just like I said, it has everything to do with our spirit. But gradually I asked the Lord, Lord, can I see deeper about the experience regarding the resurrection? The Lord seemed to show me that resurrection, his resurrection, beat the death. His resurrection swallows up and diminishes all the byproducts of the death. And his resurrection kind of overcome all kinds of resistance and all kinds of rejection, all kinds of the difficulties. And the Lord showed me that in Matthew 11, when the Lord, his ministry was kind of rejected by that, how to say that, stubborn and unrepentant generation. And our Lord turned to the Father and praised the Father. And so the Lord seems to show me that in all kinds of difficulties, not about the sin, but all kinds of the difficulties, all kinds of the resistance, you need to just turn your cheek upwards and praise the Lord. So the Lord just, I just really enjoy the booklet that I put on the, we put on the supplemental reading. That's the book from Brother Watchman Nee's about the praising. I'm going to quote this. Sometimes while you are praying and pleading, you are still bound by your affairs. But when you praise, you soar above your situation. Amen. We need to learn to maintain this lofty spirit, which is the spirit of praise. Amen. And we need to let the spirit of this lofty spirit surpasses all attacks. And prayers may not bring us to the throne, but praises surely bring us to the throne at any time. And prayers may not enable us to overcome every time, but praise does not fail even once. Amen. God's children should open their mouth to praise him, not only when they are free from problems, hurts, wounds, or difficulties, but even more when there are problems. I just appreciate the ministry that we need to praise the Lord at any situation. We are all human beings here. We have difficulties, we have problems. Some may come in with their job, some may with their parents, or our children. And for the students in school, you face a lot of the problems, and sometimes you just feel like you're kind of imprisoned or just overwhelmed by that situation. The best way to experience the resurrection of Christ is to praise the Lord. We praise all the difficulties, we let the praises to swallow up that death so that we can be fully ushered into the resurrection. Amen. And I recall one time, it was before we moved to Kansas City. You know, there was a time I was unemployed. And I still remember that in the beginning, I was a little bit nervous about that, kind of anxious about the how to find a job. I was still confident, thinking, "Oh, anyway, the Lord will give me a job. I don't know what that will be or where that will be, but I was kind of still having faith in Him." But and every morning, every noon lunchtime, I brought my son to the nearby park, and I was playing with him and watching all those office people coming out for lunch in the park. I thought, "Oh, I will be joining them in the future." But you know that period of time extends from just several months to over a year. So I was kind of all my confidence in myself or in my ability kind of just to disappear. You know, rationally I believe God knows I'm here, need a job. But emotionally I thought, maybe if he forgets me, where is my God? And I still remember one time, I had been exhausted and tired of the praying for a job. So I kind of casually singing hymns to him. And the Lord led me to kind of pray read over Psalm 23. And do we all know the first verse of Psalm 23? Jehovah is my shepherd, right? Yes, that second part, I shall lack in nothing. I couldn't say that. I was walking there. I say, Lord, you are my shepherd. Then I started to just cry because I couldn't get into the second part. Yeah. I know Bible says that, but I wasn't able to say that. I'm in lack of everything. So as I walked there, I cry, and the Lord seemed to gently remind me, how about praise him? So I started to force myself, deny my feelings, and just to start to praise him. Lord, I shall lack in nothing. The more I declare that, the more I praise that, the more my lofty spirit just to soar me above my situation, just brought me past through that environment, that situation. I experienced the resurrection power through the praises. Dear brothers and sisters, we all need to apply this to our daily living, our human living. We need to praise him at every corner. We need to praise him so that we can experience his resurrection. Praise the Lord. How about we all re-declare the Romans numeral 2 and subpoints A and B. Enjoying Christ. How about brothers on the point A?
The meal offering typifies Christ in his God-man living.
And sisters on B?
The meal offering typifies our Christian life as a duplication of the Christ God-man living.
Praise the Lord. As a kind of the concluding word of the whole conference, we need to see that we need to enjoy Christ as the reality of the meal offering so that our human living, our living can become the duplication of Christ as a corporate offering and being the food to God and satisfying God. And you know, among the millions of Christians, there is a very popular phrase talking about, what would Jesus do? Yeah, don't laugh. Sometimes we're just like that because, First Peter 2 says that God, Christ leaving a model for us so that we can follow in his steps. And just if you just read this, it is really similar to what would Jesus do, right? We just follow in his footsteps. But essentially speaking, we are not just to mimic his outward performance or just to follow his outward way. We are actually eating him as a meal offering. The more we eat him, the more we become the corporate meal offering and satisfying God. So, brothers and sisters, we need to enjoy Christ, enjoy this picture showing us all those four ingredients, how the meal offering typify Christ, typify the mingling of the divinity and the humanity. The more we ponder on that, the more we experience that, the more we enjoy that, the more we become the meal offering. And there's a ministry book called Experiencing Christ as the realities of all the offerings. And the message 10 lists kind of the 13 points regarding Christ's meal offering-like humanity. I just quoted a few of them. Like, if you enjoy Christ's meal offering, you will fulfill in all the righteousness. If you enjoy Christ's meal offering, as a meal offering, you will become just like him, meek and lowly in heart. And if you enjoy Christ as a meal offering, you will properly express in all the human emotions, even including you cry. You cry in the proper way. This is so marvelous. And let's all declare the last point on the Roman numeral 2, the point C. Praise the Lord. Today, we are not just individual separate meal offerings to God. We are all together just as a one entity. The verses 1 Corinthians 10:17 says that there is just one body. Although we are many members, but there is only one body. We should come together in a corporate way, become a meal offering to God to satisfy Him. And if you are wondering, this whole Roman numeral, including the points, are from the message 2 of the Spring Itero 2023. Praise the Lord. So probably, I believe that's our burden. We need to enjoy Christ as a meal offering. And before we wrap up, I would like to, we all declare Roman numerals 3. I will just add another burden. Amen. Throughout the past 20 centuries, thousands of praise the Lord. In Matthew 24, we see that the Lord kind of talked about the consummation of the age. And he says the end will come when the gospel of the kingdom will be preached in the whole inhabited earth. And you can see that in chapter 28, four chapters after that, when our Lord is resurrected, he charged the disciples to go and disciple the nations. And you know that in between, there's a chapter 26 talking about a special story, which is the Mary. He sees the opportunity to pour his heart treasure on our Lord. Maybe we can say that in a kind of the metaphor that our heart treasures will link the Lord's charge. We will bring in the end of comes. So we need to grasp that, we need to seize the chance. We need to seize the opportunity to waste our treasures, our most precious things on our Lord. And as I speak to, as we enjoy this conference with other college age students and maybe high schoolers or young adults, I just want to encourage all of us, we need to seize the chance. We need to outpour our most precious things. Do you know what is our most precious thing? Our time. Our time. We need to spend the time before the Lord and consecrate it to Him. We need to outpour our time. The best way to outpour our time is to go to the full-time training. I just encourage all of us to just keep that in our heart. Lord, if the situation allows, I want to join the full-time training. I want to pour my most precious thing on you. And maybe in other eyes, even the Christians, even the at that time, our Lord's followers, they think that's a waste. But do you know what God, what our Lord says? He says it's a noble deed. Yeah, you don't have me all the time. You don't have me always, right? We don't have the Lord always. We have only this. When we are young, we just have this time. Yeah, right? If we do not pour on the Lord, we pour on other things. Yeah, praise the Lord. It is the fragrant testimony of His sweetness. Praise the Lord. Let's all maybe we can pray. And I don't know how to, are we going to share or something?
Yeah, we got plenty of time for
response. Amen. Praise the Lord.